You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
So it was brought up, a trade for you to the K Show in exchange for one Dom LaGreca.
Good for me.
I mean, the fact that you guys don't want me. I mean, no. Don't put this on us.
No, that's not what we're doing.
Don't put this on us.
We didn't say that.
You're the one that has this love affair with Michael. Did I once say I didn't want you on the show? Is that the show you'd prefer to be on?
No, of course I want to be on this show. This feels like you're trying to push me out the door is what it feels like.
Well, that's your own issue.
This feels very Dallas Cowboys-ish. We want to sign you to a long-term deal. And yet I remain unsigned.
This is DCR.
And now you're calling Seattle looking for Russell Wilson. How am I supposed to feel?
Oh.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah.
Big 7 o'clock hour. DCR, 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Dan Graziano, who will be involved in some kind of Peloton situation at some point today, that you can guarantee, will join us at 7:15 this morning. I still don't really understand how it's not like riding the Peloton. You said there are Peloton exercises that go along with this thing?
Yeah, the bike comes with them, and the subscription has Peloton. I mean, it has all sorts of whatever you want. It has yoga, Pilates. It has upper body workouts, lower body workouts, you name it.
So sneaky like a, good workouts, too, by the way.
Like a full gym this
year. Yeah.
Thing.
Exactly right. I mean, that's his point, is that, I mean, since he's gotten the Peloton, he hasn't been to the gym once, and he's never been in better shape.
He looks terrific.
He looks fantastic. This is what TV does to you, though, man. Once he became a TV star, he's all of a sudden had to get on the Peloton, losing weight, dressing nice. This is why I like just doing radio. No worries.
No stress. No muss, no fuss.
Sweatpants. Don't have to shave. Don't have to do your hair. It's great.
Dan will join us at 7:15 this morning.
Actually, I think you like TV better.
Me?
I think you love being on TV.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Whenever
you
do, I said no.
No. That's the only reason why you do the national shows is to be on TV.
No.
You.
I that couldn't be further from the truth. I'm totally with you. I give me a sweatshirt, sweatpants, not shaving for a week. I don't want to be on TV.
See, that's my fear. If we do get simulcast, now all of a sudden it's a whole new ballgame.
No.
Now we got to dress up.
No. If we get simulcast and we are doing 5 o'clock in the morning, there is no way I'm dressing up. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be traveling into the studio at 3:20? No. We have to make a pact. We will look homeless at that hour.
You think they're going to allow us to look homeless on TV? No chance.
At 5 o'clock, yes.
I don't think it happens.
Wait, you think they're going to expect us to look nice?
Yes.
At 5?
Yeah, you're not going to get away with wearing wrestling t-shirts and everything else. This is going to have to be, you know, button down, you know, collared shirt. Your beard trimmed up nice.
Ugh. Like product in my hair?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
This is, I mean, everyone wants handsome. Dave. We all realize this. People don't know. I mean, I've seen your wedding photo. There's a handsome guy there. We want to accentuate those good looks.
Listen, you're the looks of the show. All right. I think we all understand that. I think we all appreciate that. You just look beautiful. You get yourself all dolled up. Chris and I will just be there for window dressing. That's how it works.
I don't know why you got to sleep on how good looking Canty is.
I don't know where Dave was going on with that one.
Because like you don't care what I'm wearing.
Like that's a roundabout way of taking a shot at me, Dave.
Oh,
I don't appreciate
stop it.
It.
How sensitive can you be?
I don't appreciate it.
I mean, Michael's slobbering over how handsome you are, Chris.
I mean, I'm not as close to Rico as the Kaster is. So that's a little bit of a different animal. But I mean, just to say that, oh, Rick is the look of the show and you know, we'll be in the background being the pips. Come on, man.
I don't want to look good and I don't want to smell good. Yeah, I'm fine looking miserable and smelling awful and putting on good radio.
Well, yeah, you can be fine doing that. I'm not comfortable doing that. I love doing TV. I love putting on a suit and a tie.
Yeah, you do look
good. You look good, you play good.
All right, you guys get paid good.
No question.
You guys can look great. I'm going to wear sweatshirts and sweatpants and look completely unkempt.
Like that kind of party?
That'll be the party.
I'm crazy.
Guests on DCR PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. Let's get back to the Knicks. 800-919-3776. We started the show with it. We'll get to the calls on it in just a moment. Last night, and you know I don't like losing at all. Last night, not the worst for me. Now, we did talk about this. This is big. Last night, I can deal with, I can live with. Moving forward, Thursday night, a game you'll hear right here on 98.7 ESPN, Knicks and the Pistons. You cannot lose that game. We cannot turn on the microphones Friday morning discussing the Knicks losing Thursday night at home to Detroit.
No chance. No, I mean, to all of a sudden do is to do as much as this Knicks team has done in the first half, as far as, you know, changing the narrative. You know, people are talking about the Knicks and how well they played. They've surprised everybody. They're 500 now. To lose last night, not the end of the world, actually gave Julius Randle some, you know, time to rest his legs a little bit. But you have to, especially at home, going into a week off, you have to beat Detroit and put yourself a game over 500. You have to.
Here's the thing, Rico, about last night's game. Like, I can actually understand how that happens. I mean, no Derrick Rose, no Elfrid Payton. So, I mean, it's a situation where your point guard position is taking a little bit of a hit, and you're relying on Frank Ntilikina, who's missed the majority of the season, and a rookie in IQ. Like, I can get how the Knicks don't necessarily play their best ball, especially on offense. They had 16 turnovers last night. So, I mean, I can understand that. And also, the fact that this team is so consistent with the effort, at some point you were going to have a letdown game where the effort wasn't going to be
totally
what it's been before. So I get last night, and I'm willing to look past it, but only if you take care of your business on Thursday night. And that's why this game against the Pistons means so much, because really it affects how the Knicks fans and how the players in that locker room feel about the first half of this season. Like, all of a sudden, like, you go into the All-Star break with a winning record, you're exceeding expectation, everybody feels great about things. But if you go in with a losing record, and that's because you would have lost to the Detroit Pistons, the worst team in the NBA, on the game before the All-Star break, that's not something that you feel good about.
It'd be awful. Absolutely awful. Carl in Brooklyn is next up. Good morning, Carl. You're on 98.7 ESPN. Earl, Carl, whatever. Go ahead, Earl.
Earl from Brooklyn. How you doing, DCR?
What's going on?
Good morning. Okay, first of all, Dave, yesterday I listened to the Michael K, right? And you sound like a little boy talking about, you don't bother Chris Canty. You shouldn't have never said that. Take up for your own self. That's number one. Number two,
you know what, Canty, Earl, Carl, whatever.
Listen, Dave,
up for myself.
Quiet,
Canty garbage.
You got anything else?
Yeah, hey, Canty, you said to me, I told you about how you make your money on the inside last week. You wanted 2 weeks ago to trade Randall and another player and Mitchell Robinson and a draft pick. And now this morning you say you need Randall down in the low post to move forward. So I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, I was.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I would love to keep Julius Randle. I mean, if you could make the money work, which it seems like the Knicks can with their cap situation, I would love to keep Julius Randle as a piece that you can build around. I just, at the time, I didn't know that there was a way that the Knicks could be able to offer a package to the Wizards that would be attractive enough if you didn't include Julius Randle. But, I mean, if they're willing to accept, you know, R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson in picks, and there's a way that you got to, if you have to have Kevin Knox as a throw-in or whatever, if you can make that work, then that's absolutely a trade that you should explore making, because Brad Beal with Julius Randle has the makings of a team that can compete to go to the NBA Finals out of the East.
I will tell you this. As exciting as it would be to bring Bradley Beal here and couple him with Julius Randle, and I can't believe I'm saying this, if you have to include Julius Randle in the trade for Bradley Beal, I think a lot of the air is taken out of the balloon, to be honest with you. Because I think you're almost treading water by bringing a terrific player and a great scorer, but losing a similar player right now.
Dave, I'm with you 100%. But at the time, and we're talking about 3 weeks ago, I wasn't sure exactly how they would pull it off, how they would do it. I didn't know that there would be something that you could offer the Wizards where they would feel good about the compensation going back to them, and you'd be able to make the salaries match and all that other stuff. I didn't know that that was possible. But if you can pull it off, what I'm saying is if Leon Rose can get this done without including Julius Randle,
sure,
and without including Emmanuel Quickley, then you absolutely have to explore it.
I mean, if you're including Julius Randle in that deal, now all of a sudden, I mean, you got Bradley Beal
and nothing else.
And nothing. And now you're relying on, you know, who in free agency wants to come play with Brad Beal.
Well, I will say this. Brad Beal is a better player than Julius Randle.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not...
Okay, but for argument's sake, if you bring in Beal and trade Randle, are you a much better team? Like, do you look and say, okay, we're going to be the fourth seed?
No. I don't think it improves your standing in terms of what your team is and what your team's ceiling is. But, again, I go back to, if we're talking about young players and or draft picks, and you don't have to include Randle, who's a first-time All-Star...
Yep.
And you can put him with another All-Star caliber player, an All-NBA caliber player this season in Brad Beal. I mean, somebody that could be a difference maker in the backcourt and a closer for a game. Then all of a sudden that changes everything about the Knicks.
Yeah.
It changes everything.
Yeah, now you're talking. Now you have two legitimate players. Do you have a quick comment, Rick? Because we got
to
go.
No, but I mean, the thing too you have to take into account is, I mean, you look at all these teams that, I mean, are competing to win championships, that have a legitimate chance to win championships. I mean, everyone wants to go back to the Brooklyn Nets and, you know, how they built it the right way and everything else. I mean, you're talking about the young players on that team just kind of being, I mean, being role players, being bench players. I mean, look at their starting five. It's Harden, Kyrie, Durant, Jeff Green, and Joe Harris.
Yeah. And they're great, but they have more than one great player, and that's what the Knicks would need to do to bring in a Bradley Beal.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Graziano, a happy anniversary, Dan. 1 year ago, and since a year ago has passed, you've done the Peloton every single day. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, the bike or something on the app. Yeah, that's my streak. Yeah,
wow.
It's been a year. It's been good. I mean, I don't know. You're locked in the house. You got to do something.
How much weight are you down since you started this?
Well, I was down 32, but then an NFL season happened, and I was back on the road a little bit. So I would say from this point last year, I'm down, 25, something like that? So,
still pretty good.
Yeah. Not bad.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, it's a better starting point than I had last year, that's for sure.
Well, good for you. Continued success. All right. So I'm watching SportsCenter just moments ago, and Jeff Darlington is on, and it scrolls at the bottom, and it says, our Dan Graziano reports Deshaun Watson has zero intention to show up for Houston. He's not going to show up. Like, is there anything in your mind that makes him change his mind and decide that he will play again for the Texans?
I mean, that's the exact question that we've been asking people close to Watson. I don't think he's talked to anybody, but, you know, there's plenty of people sort of talking for him. And the answer keeps coming back. No, I don't think so. I don't see how they repair their relationship. He wants out. He's done with the place, blah, blah, blah. So no, I mean, they've been very, very consistent with their messaging. The question, of course, becomes, does Houston take it seriously? You know, do they push him? Do they challenge him to sit out games, sit out training camp, incur millions of dollars worth of fines? I mean, they don't have to trade him. They're probably going to be a bad team either way this year. So if they decide to dig in and see how far he's willing to take it, then it becomes a story that goes into training camp and possibly the season. So, you know, the draft is kind of a soft, it's not a deadline, it's like a milepost, right? Like if the draft comes and goes and he's not traded, then that means they're willing to push this thing. But if they become convinced between now and the draft that he is serious, then you might see them move off of their stance and see if they can get a boatload of picks in exchange for him.
So, Dan, let's just assume that, you know, once we get to closer to the draft, they actually start picking up the phone, you know, getting you know, trade proposals and everything else. We speculate.
All right.
Jets have the second overall pick, that it would be insane not for Joe Douglas not to be interested. From what you've heard, is this something that Joe Douglas is really interested in doing, or is this something that kind of just checking in to see, you know, where it's at?
I think it's the kind of thing, Rick, where you have to at least find out, right? So if you're Joe Douglas and the Jets, and you're thinking about, do we go with Darnold? Do we pick a quarterback number two? What can we get for the pick? What can we get for Darnold? And then Deshaun Watson is kind of hanging out there as a possibility. You have to at least do the homework and say, what would it take? And would this be the right move for us? So I think that's the discussion that goes on there as it pertains to Deshaun Watson. The interesting thing about the Jets is we've seen a couple of you know, and these are anonymously attributed sentiments and quotes, we've seen a couple of indications that maybe that's not the place he wants to go. And so if you're the Jets and you're getting that impression, then maybe you say, well, it's not worth it. Obviously, we're not going to dump, you know, three high picks and a good young player, you know, to try and get in this sweepstakes to get a guy that might not even want to come here. So you have to assess that as well. And I think the Jets are in a position where they probably are. Look, anybody who thinks they have a shot at Deshaun Watson also has to have a contingency plan because, A, not everybody's going to get him, and, B, it's possible that the Texans stand their ground. So while you keep this in the back of your head, you also have to be making other arrangements and evaluating the Zach Wilsons, Justin Fields, Trey Lance's, Mac Jones's, and against the possibility of keeping Sam Darnold.
Dan, yesterday, Marcus Mays' agent kind of called out the Jets after they made the cost-cutting move with moving on from Henry Anderson. What's your take on that, and what's the overall sentiment on how active the Jets will be in free agency this offseason?
Oh, I think they'll be quite active. I mean, they have a lot to do, obviously. They have a lot of improvements they need to make, and it would be a mistake for them to not be active. But Marcus May, I mean, as I understood it, was one of their priorities. Now, obviously, the agent's Twitter account from last night indicates that he disagrees, that he doesn't feel they've made him enough of a priority. So that could tell you the state of those negotiations as we creep toward free agency. Here in a couple of weeks is when the rubber meets the road. Either they'll have him or they'll franchise him or they'll, you know, let him hit the market. I think that last option is probably the least likely, but I think they'll address the offensive line. I think they'll be players on the big, such as they are, big name guards. There are some very impressive offensive guards on the market. I think they'll try. I think obviously always looking for edge rush there, it seems, but so is everybody else. So that's probably a draft option. I think they'll be fairly active in free agency. Wide receiver, maybe not the, you know, the high end, the Kenny Galladay end of it, but maybe a couple of possible adds there in the second tier. I would think the Jets, with all their cap space, will do some stuff, without a doubt.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. This is exactly where I wanted to go, and that is the wide receiver. Kenny Galladay, Allen Robinson, we were talking about it earlier on the show. Do you think those guys are tagged? Do you think they become free agents? And if they are tagged, do you think that the intent is to trade them once they tag them, or they're going to wind up staying with the Detroit and Chicago, respectively?
I think Chicago tags Allen Robinson, and then it becomes a question of what he wants to do, right? Like, does he want to force their hand and say, I'm unhappy here, I've traded me to a team that will give me the contract I want? I think Detroit is a little different because everybody's new there. The GMs knew, the coaches knew. Somebody told me 21 of the 25 people on their coaching staff are new to the organization. There's no history there with Kenny Galladay and any of the people that are running the show. So they have to make a decision. Do they tag him? Do they tag and trade him? Do they just let him walk? Do they sign him long term? Sense I get is they're not in a position where they want to sign him long term, but if they feel like they might be able to get something for him, the tag and trade option is possible. So I think Kenny Galladay is a guy that becomes available to teams that are looking for that number one wide receiver type, because I think the Lions have some cap issues and some other priorities on the roster. The guy they really like is Romeo Okwara, the guy that Giants let go. Apparently, they're very high on him, so he could be a guy that they're resources into as opposed to Galladay. So Galladay could come loose. I don't think Chris Godwin does. I think he gets tagged or signed in Tampa Bay. But Galladay is the one at the top of the market I think is worth watching as one who could become available.
Dan Graziano joins us here on the show. Dan, New York Giants, kind of under the radar addition that I want to get your take on. So they bring back Pat Flaherty for the offensive line. You've covered the Giants. What do you think as far as that, the impact that'll have?
I think, you know, this is a guy that the organization likes and you know, he's looking for a job. He wanted to get an offensive line coach job. Those dried up. He wasn't able to get one. So I think this kind of gets him back in the mix as a guy who's got some coaching staff experience to kind of be around and maybe advise, maybe consult with the very young coaching staff the Giants have. Their offensive line coach, it does not have, you know, NFL experience in any significant way. So I think he's just sort of a guy to be another voice in the room, and they'll give him stuff to do, whether it's, hey, evaluate this week's opponent in terms of their pass rush, their defensive line, whatever. So I think he's a guy that the organization likes and wanted to find a role for. He's not, I mean, he's not going to like be sort of on the coaching staff in a formal way. He's kind of got an advisory or a consultant role, just kind of an old face, familiar face to the organization that they think can help with his experience.
Dan, yesterday Calvin Watkins had an article in the Morning News down there in Dallas, and he said that there was a source that that went on the record and saying that the talks between Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys have been more productive in recent days, and this is on the heels of Jerry Jones on the radio show saying that Dak has all the leverage. What is your expectation on what happens with that Dak situation? I know we're all assuming that he gets franchise tag. Do they work out a long term deal, or does he play this year under the tag?
Can you ask me again in a week? I think I know they've talked. I know that they both sides want the deal done, but that was true last year too, and they didn't get it done. Now I think last year, in July, when the deadline passed, the July 15th deadline, I think both sides were a little shocked that it hadn't happened. And I think especially the Cowboys, who kind of figured, oh, in the end, we'll get it done, we always do, have been impressed and a little bit surprised by Dak Prescott's patience, right? Like his discipline. He and his agent have a goal in mind for what they want the contract to be, and they have stuck to it. They haven't moved off of it, and they know that their worst-case scenario, which is make franchise player money and endorsement money, you know, is not the end of the world. If Dak Prescott, who made $31.4 million last year, is franchised again for $37.7 million this year, that's not a bad way to make a living, right? So if that's your fallback, then dig in and go for the deal you want. So now the Cowboys are looking at it a year later going, all right, well, we know he's willing to do this. Maybe last year we underestimated how willing he was to play on the franchise tag. Now that we know, maybe there's grounds for compromise. And again, from Dak Prescott's side, I have never once in this process, and I have talked to people close to that situation on both sides, I've never once in this process gotten the impression that Dak Prescott feels insulted or feels upset or feels disrespected, all these words that keep getting thrown around. He wants to be there. They want him there. I think there's a deal done. I do think it gets done. If it's not done by next Tuesday, March 9th, the deadline to apply the franchise tag, then the Cowboys absolutely will do that as a means of keeping him off the market and continuing the negotiation, which can go again as late as July 15th.
Dan, I know years has been a big sticking point between the two sides. How much of the media rights negotiations and the cap potentially going up in 2022, how much has that impacted these negotiations between Dak and the Cowboys?
It matters for sure because the cap, the 22 cap will be affected by the 21 cap. Remember, the 21 cap is going to be artificially high, right? The cap is based on revenues and revenue projections, and lost revenue from this year would push it lower than the $180 million floor. So because of that, the difference between what it should have been and what it ends up being will have to be made up in 22 and possibly 23. But once the cap for this year is set, I think they'll have some idea what they can expect the 22 cap to be. So the Prescott deal and other deals that could be getting done right now are being held up by the lack of a real cap number. Frankly, I mean, by now, some people have already been franchised in a normal year, and so far this year they haven't. So I think teams are waiting on that final cap number to do some work. And you're right, Chris, that next year's cap will be affected as well, and I think they're waiting to see how much.
Sorry, Dan, last one for me. So how does the – explain to me, because it seems like a foregone conclusion that we're going to have 17 games. How is that going to affect the money involved this year in free agency?
I think, well, you're negotiating a contract now based on 17. I've asked agents that question, and they kind of say, well, not so much. I mean, the difference is if you have a contract that was signed a year ago or earlier and they go to 17 games, you get an extra game check for that 17th game. Whereas if you sign a contract now, the understanding is you're planning for 17 games. So you don't get the extra game check. You should be working out a contract that is based on that. I wonder, honestly, and this has been suggested to me by a couple people, will teams build in like a specific roster bonus for the 17th game? Like if you're on the roster for week 18, whatever it is, you get extra, like as a means of compensating for that in the negotiations here when it's still a little bit murky. But I also think by the time most of these contracts are signed or agreed to, that they'll have announced they're going to 17 games and everybody will negotiate based on that.
All right, Dan, we appreciate it as we always do. We'll talk to you next week after the franchise tag deadline has passed, so we look forward to that as well. Good stuff.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's always fun.
All right, thanks, guys.
Enjoy the Peloton. Good stuff. That, of course, Dan Graziano. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on DCR PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. How about that? Working out every day for a full year. That's miraculous.
That's the goal, though, ain't it? Like, to be that disciplined, to work out every single day?
I mean, good for him.
Do a little bit every day, man. It takes care. Takes care of yourself.
Beautiful. Every single day? Not to have one day where you just don't feel well, you're tired.
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
Yeah. Kind of thing happened. Now, you don't consider that to be exercise, right? Like taking the treadmill and smashing it into the window doesn't count.
I mean, you could count it as a set. Like, it's one of your push exercises. Like doing a little full body, like almost like Drew Brees pushing the sled. Yes. He counts that as a workout.
There you go. Sherry was so angry.
Then you get the rotator cuff throwing the pitcher out the wedding pitcher out the window.
That's true. All my fits of rage, really. They burn calories.
Yeah, dumping the vinegar on her computer. I could count that one.
She was so angry. She recently, Sherry brought that up. She goes, and remember the time you ruined my computer? I said, well, here's the thing. I didn't ruin the computer. The computer was fully functional after I dumped the vinegar on it. But it wasn't my finest moment. There's no doubt about that.
I still do not understand what, if anything, goes through your mind in the moment where you make the decision that I'm gonna show her, I'm gonna dump this vinegar on her computer.
Because I'm damaged, I'm broken. You got a glimpse of it yesterday. You said watching me freak out, you thought I kind of blacked out there for a minute.
What he was $5 off on the toilet paper.
Gamer,
$5!
I could just see you, though, like just look like making eye contact, looking at her, and then just pouring it, like as you're looking at her. Like, see?
Because my thought, what would upset her the most in that very moment was my thought. It was horrible.
Dump vinegar on your computer.
Now, in defense of me, I was still, that was the day after. Remember the flight I was on coming back from Vegas where they said we're going to crash? And I said, oh, listen, I just better be able to watch the Giants tomorrow. That was the Giants game. That was the next day. So her belief is that I was still so medicated from the day before that I didn't have my proper composure.
Which one would you rank as far as like weird situations to be in where you're desperate to watch a Giants game? I mean, that plane's right up there because you thought you were going to crash and you still needed to watch a Giants game. For some reason, I always go back to when you told the cruise ship that you'd get naked if they didn't didn't put the game on.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable story. I began the naked run in 2007. I mean, you know, I don't even remember that. It's like as far as the great stories I've had, that doesn't even pop into my mind. And it was. So we're on a cruise ship of like 5,000. I don't know what they have actually making up, but I mean, thousands of people. And I called in advance to make sure that they would have the Giants-Eagles game on that Sunday night. And I go to the bar to watch the game. And the guy's like, I'm sorry, I'm not putting it on. Somebody wants to watch this. I said, you have to put it on. And they refused. And I didn't know what to do. So I couldn't take vinegar and pour it on their computers. So I said, if you do not put the game on every 30 seconds, I will take off a piece of clothing and be walking around here naked within 3 minutes.
But I'm so curious as to how your mind works to threaten folks with nudity if you don't get what you want.
And you know what? Maybe they looked at me like, we do not want to see this guy naked, and they put the game on. But to me, the coup de grace of the story, the piece de resistance, as you like to say, Rick, is the next day Sherry was in the spa and she gets taken in by her masseuse. And the woman is like, did you hear about the crazy guy at the bar last night who said he was going to get naked? Did you know this part of it, by the way? Did you hear about this lunatic who said he was going to get naked if they didn't put a football game on? And Sherry's like, that was my husband. I'm like, no, it's like a crazy guy at the bar that wouldn't
And she was like, that was my husband. Thank you very much.
Well, at least she claimed you, Dave.
Yeah, she loves me.
I'm on the ship, Omar. I'm on the ship.
That might be my most underrated story.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I just did a live read, Rick, that you would have lost your mind over had I said this, and it would have been a drop forever for BetMGM. You know when you're reading and sometimes you don't see it exactly perfectly and your mind goes elsewhere and you almost mispronounce or say the word incorrectly? So it says boosted odds. I was this close from saying roasted odds. I think that would have probably...
Well, yeah, but you are getting up at 3:45 in the morning, apparently. Supposedly 3:45 in the morning.
What do you mean, supposedly?
I question if you're up at 3:45.
Call me tomorrow.
You'll be up at 3:45. That's And you're just putting on clothes. I mean, that's 45 minutes before you have to be on the Zoom.
Well, yeah, because I like to read everything going on. I mean, you could say a lot of things about me. Ill-prepared would not be one of them.
Never. No, we pride ourselves on that.
Right? I mean, I think we're the most buttoned-up show that there is out there, and I'll hold us against anybody. So I'm surprised that you don't think that I put pre-show work in.
No, I
have
so
much knowledge.
I mean, your whole life is pre-show work.
And that's all I do.
That's all you do. I mean, you live, breathe, sleep it, barely sleeping it now. But that was actually a funny part of the K show when he asked you how it was waking up. Being like, it's awful.
It's terrible. Well, because haven't you guys gotten this like, not you, Rick, because you always do this. But Chris, I get so much like, well, your body's going to become accustomed to it. You're going to feel more comfortable. When you wake up, it'll just be kind of routine. No, never once does the alarm go off. Then I'm like, all right, let's get going. I feel really great to be waking up at this hour. Not one time.
Well, here's what I will say, Dave. It's not as bad as it was the first month. The first month, January, was brutal. But, I mean, after a while, I mean, you do start to normalize it. I mean, it's never going to be comfortable. You're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's never going to feel good. But, I mean, it's not as bad. It doesn't suck as bad as it did the first month.
Early risers will get work. There you go. Early risers will get work. All right, Mel Kiper Jr. on KJZ yesterday. What should the Jets do? Number two overall.
You look at Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida, Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Alabama, Jamar Chase, wide receiver, LSU. You can get one of those three and also have your quarterback. If you go Zach Wilson, you lose those three. And I would say you better love Zach Wilson a heck of a lot more than you feel good about Sam Darnold. So Sam Darnold better be a guy that you have major questions about. Zach Wilson, you better feel can be big time to make that move where you take the young quarterback, unproven, over a guy you know better than anybody and has had some success despite a terrible supporting cast, and you lose one of these three dynamic offensive performers that will make your quarterback Sam Darnold a heck of a lot better. It's really unfair for Darnold to go out there every week with limited players around, limited supporting cast around him. And if you add one of these three tremendous prospects, you have helped him enormously.
I love Mel Kiper. I couldn't agree with him more. And when he says Sam Darnold has had some success, I've missed that success that he's had in his NFL career.
Yeah, I ain't seen it either, Dave. I ain't seen it. Starting to think those hair products are affecting Mel's brain and his evaluation. But, I mean, I have no idea what Mel is talking about with taking a tight end at the number two overall pick. Like, that's silly talk to me, especially when you have so many serious questions about Sam Darnold. And when you start talking about the conversation of whether or not they should go with a young quarterback versus Darnold, I think Mel's asking the wrong question. I don't think it comes down to the separation in talent between the two. I think it comes down to, do you think Sam Darnold can do the job? And if you don't, then you almost have to move off of him. Why would you stay with a quarterback that you don't have any confidence in that can play the position at a high level in the NFL? Why would you do that?
But if your thought is, hey, you know what, Mike Shanahan, new system, quarterback friendly, we can fix Sam Darnold. But at that point, if you're going to try to fix Sam Darnold and you're not taking a quarterback or Sewell, a left tackle, tackle period, then are you really, are you going to use the second overall pick on a wide receiver or a tight end, or are you going to trade back?
Wouldn't you have to trade back? I mean, how could you possibly take a tight end second overall?
Well, especially in his first, in the mock, the most recent mock draft, he had Atlanta trading up to two.
Right, and Jets move back to four and take Pitts.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you trade back to whatever team that wants a quarterback, and you're going to, obviously get that pick plus whatever other kind of draft compensation you get, then, yeah, in that spot, you would take the best wide receiver available, or if you're in love with with Pitts, although I think we all agree, I mean, tight end that early is a little tough. I understand that. But I can't imagine taking a skill position player with the second overall pick.
Well, why would you? Like, if you like multiple guys, if you liked two of them, why wouldn't you, at least like he had in his mock, move down to four? How can you make sense of staying at two and taking any of those guys at two?
Chris, let me ask you a question, because I'm interested to get your opinion. And we've recently just seen it where, you know, a guy wants out because he feels like he's a left tackle and he wants to go somewhere where he's going to play left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a concern in a reason why you wouldn't consider taking Sewell with the second overall pick?
Because
you already have Becton?
Yeah, well, I mean, Becton's going to be your left tackle. If Sewell has said that he doesn't want to play right tackle, then that's one thing. But if he doesn't care, then that would absolutely be a consideration for me. I mean, if you're saying that this kid has the kind of talent that he could develop into an Anthony Munoz-like player, then I think you almost have to consider it. As great as those skill position players are, I mean, the wide receiver position the last two or three years has been really, really deep. So, I mean, I always look at trying to build a team inside out. And with the Jets, offensive line has been a problem. Developing quarterbacks have been a problem. So I just feel like if you're not going to take a quarterback with your first pick, then offensive tackle is certainly one of those positions I would look at. The other kid from Northwestern, Rashawn Slater, supposed to be really good too. So, I mean, I think the Jets have a lot of good choices, a lot of good ways that they can go if they're sold on Sam. My only point is I don't know what you've seen in the first 3 years that could give you that level of conviction on Sam to justify passing on an opportunity to take one of these quarterbacks.
The only thing you could possibly say is that the Jets have been so bereft of talent and the coaching staff has been so hideous that you think that he's been ruined in the first 3 years.
But Dave, if that's how you feel, then how do you know that this next coaching staff, this new regime, can actually fix him?
Look, like,
that's the other part of it too, Dave.
I wouldn't stick with him.
I'm not saying that you would, but I guess that's the other part of the conversation. Everybody's saying, oh, we're going to blame it on the coaching, and it's been so dysfunctional, and now that they've stabilized the organization, Sam will have a lot more confidence. How do you know that? Like, how do you know that definitively? How do you know that what has been done to Sam Darnold in the first 3 years is something that is fixable? With my former teammate David Carr, it wasn't fixable. He got the career knocked out of him literally and figuratively in his first year in Houston, and he was never the same. So I guess my whole question is, how do we know that what we've seen in the first 3 years hasn't permanently altered the trajectory of Sam Darnold's
career? We don't. The answer, in a word, is we don't. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at ProgressiveCommercial.com. You know, I didn't even see this. And this is interesting. So Rich Cimini yesterday tweets, Henry Anderson is the first cap casualty. The Jets cut him. The O-line could get hit, too. Jets could have more than $80 million in cap space by the time they're done trimming the fat. To which Field Yates responds, the Jets could have $80 million in cap space or even more by the time free agency begins. They have five first-round picks over the next three drafts tied with the Lions for the most. Any player available, be it free agency or trade, the Jets have the resources to try and acquire him. All right, that's fine. That's reasonable. And then Marcus May's agent replies with this: yet they refuse to take care of their best player, captain and team voted MVP in his prime, who had several all-pro votes and who played out his entire rookie deal and even changed positions on his contract year after they got rid of last year's all-pro safety. And then he put a little emoji of peace.
Shots fired! Shots fired!
That doesn't sound great, this relationship between May and the Jets right now.
No, and I mean, he was supposed to be the priority. And it sounds like if they don't work out a deal, obviously they're going to franchise tag him. But I mean, hasn't that been one of the problems with the New York Jets? Is first, I mean, drafting the right player, developing the player, and then, you know,
if the player performs, we don't want to pay you.
Exactly right.
I don't understand. How do you always do this? It's a different regime. It's supposed to be a different way they run this organization. And now you have an agent putting this out,
Dave,
on Twitter?
But that's the problem, though, is because there is no continuity, and it continues to be a different regime. So Joe Douglas didn't draft Marcus May, just like Joe Douglas didn't draft Sam Darnold. That's what makes this a unique situation. Like all the situations that you would point to where all of a sudden you bring in a new coaching staff hoping it fixes your quarterback, well, you're incentivized to do that because you drafted the quarterback. Like Ryan Pace drafted Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
It's in his best interest that Mitch Trubisky works out.
But you double down on Sam, Rick, he's now your guy. Like once you say he's my quarterback going into year four, you're Joe Douglas. There's no washing your hands of him anymore. He now becomes your guy.
Now you've made your bed.
Yep. Ira Staten Island. What's up, I?
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning. How are you? You know, when I woke up this morning and I heard about the Marcus May, his agent tweeting, and by the way, I hate anybody doing business in the media, but I guess it is what it is because that's the way to get leverage. I just can't believe it. I thought the Jets would end up tagging May and then address it as they go forward in free agency and see where the cap's going to be set, like they had Graziano on. But, you know, he's a team captain. He was ranked fourth among safeties last year. He's a great locker room guy. He's homegrown. And like you guys just said, you know, it's continuously, no matter who the regime is there. You know, go back to Revis's day. And listen, you know, there were positives I liked about him, and there were negatives the way he handled his salary with the Jets. But the bottom line is, it's an ongoing thing with this organization, how they don't take care of their own players. And I have an issue with it as a fan. Marcus May, I got to know Marcus May. He's the greatest guy. This is a guy you want in the locker room. If I'm a new coach, I want him there to build my program. And now his agent has to go out there and put that tweet out. To me, it's a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, you don't love it. Listen, and no one loves when all of a sudden business comes out on social media and everything else. But I mean, this kind of gives you some insight into how this thing is being handled. And I'm of the firm belief, if you hit on a player and the player has exceeded your expectations.
And he's been really good.
He's been really good. And not to mention the fact, I mean, what I was just pointing to. I mean, he stepped up and filled that void as a leader inside that locker room, which is something that you want. And I know he's not Joe Douglas' guy, but he's a guy you drafted. He's homegrown. Those are the guys you need to take care of.
Well, use him.
Especially when you're not paying anybody else. The Jets aren't paying anybody else. So the fact that the organization has the money and that you are a homegrown guy and that you did play out your entire rookie contract, you didn't bitch and complain, you played hurt, you helped them with the whole Jamal Adams situation, you were kind of a stabilizing force with the young guys in that secondary. And so now it comes time to compensate the player and commit to him long term, and the Jets seem like they're hesitant to do so. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Clearly.
Like, for the agent to have to come out and do that on social media is absolutely ridiculous. How do you let another situation with another big-time safety in consecutive off seasons go left? I have no idea.
I mean, listen, it shouldn't be like this with this new regime. It just shouldn't. As a business owner, time is your most valuable resource. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. Post a sponsored job and Indeed instantly searches millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who best fit your job description. Want to go beyond the resume? Choose from over 135 skills test to challenge applicants on hard skills like computer proficiency or soft skills like computer and customer service. Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. What kind of reception do you think James Harden gets in Houston?
Not a good one.
No? You think they hate him down there right now at this moment?
I mean, now, reading some of the stuff with the whole number being retired, the Rockets fan base, James Harden is not on the top of the list. It's probably the Texans, the Houston Texans owner, and then probably Houston Texans owner, Easterby, and then James Harden.
It could be like anything dealing with the Texans.
Did you see the one place, one of the restaurants down in Houston on the tables? This seat is reserved for anyone but Jack Easterby.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow.
I saw that.
That whole situation is so weird to me still. Now he's now running the organization. From team pastor to now running the organization.
It's a wild rise up the ranks, huh?
It's crazy.
It really is. But I'm intrigued to see how this plays out with James Harden tonight.
That guy in a little coat.
Because I think he's done a lot of good for Houston recently also, as far as what they've been going through with the weather and all that kind of stuff. And he's given a lot of money back to the city. But again, fans don't want to hear it. If you say, I don't want your city, and being a fan like that, I know that, and I feel like I get that, that stings if you're a fan. And that's what he told them. I don't want to be here in your city anymore.
Yeah, I think the Rockets fans surprised both of you guys tonight.
You think?
Yep, I think so.
It'll be interesting. We'll find that out, of course, Houston and the Nets tonight. All right, Santy, it's a Wednesday, which means three stars are involved.
Today's three stars of DCR, number three.
Well, number three is going to go to Dan Graziano. Congratulations on hitting 365 consecutive days on the Peloton. That's quite an accomplishment. I'm kind of jealous of it.
You could do it, Santa. You can do it.
No, you can't. He doesn't have time to do it.
Gonna have to find the time.
Call me
number two.
I'll figure it out. Number two is going to be dead guys who aren't dead. Been explained that numerous times on this show.
Don, did you tweet a rest in peace to Sidney Poitier?
Yeah, 92. He passed away.
That's his birthday today.
No. Didn't. Oh, turns 92. Dear God.
My. Nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
It's been too long. I'm really looking forward to who gets killed on this station next.
God. Number one.
Number one, you guys were just talking about James Harden, his reception in Houston. So number one star is going to be trade demands, not because of James Harden, not because of Deshaun Watson, not because Marcus May might demand one, but because, you know, I wake up this morning and there's drama on this show, there's drama on the K show, Don may get traded for Rick. I fully expect to wake up tomorrow and Rick is just going to be pulling a trade demand of his own.
Trade me right now!
So good luck. I hope everyone is here tomorrow.
Is there a chance you're going to demand that in the next 24 hours? That you're going to be on a different show?
No.
Oh, before I forget, honorable mention could have gone to Dave's eyes for almost blowing that read and then calling that guy Earl Carl. I don't know how that happened.
I might need to see the ophthalmologist very, very quickly. It's Rule 76, people.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPH with Canty Rothenberg and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO Canty and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPHRO Canty and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.